In our last class, we saw the Mangala Shloka. By invoking the remembrance of the Lord, who also is Satchidananda Swarupa and Guru. In this way, just remembrance itself is invocation of auspiciousness. And we would wonder, why is just remembering itself is going to remove obstacles? How can removal, or how can remembrance remove obstacles? And it's very simple. When we remember our true nature, automatically our mind will become quieter. Our mind will not run after raga dvesha, kama krodha, lobha moha. So that remembrance itself develops within us the vairagya. And if vairagya is there, then now absolutely it will help me in my sadhana. It will help me in my manan. So therefore, remembrance is a great start to our journey. Now, having thus remembered this way, Lakshmidhar Kavi begins the next shloka. Now, this is Manan Pradhan, correct? So we are going to discuss things that requires us to use logic. Scriptures, they present for us, they tell us that you are Satchidananda. That's what the scripture tells us. You are Satchidananda. But what is a proof that I am Satchidananda? Can you prove that I am Satchidananda? So in order to make the Mahavakya, such as Tattvamasi, become true, by the understanding of logic, not by anubhava, not by experience. So just because somebody said Tattvamasi, the Guru may have said it by their experience, but it is not Shishya's experience. The student has not experienced it. So for student, it is Paroksha Jnana. It's a knowledge which is only coming through the scriptures. But still, that knowledge can be made my conviction. I can become absolutely 100% sure that yes, I am Satchidananda. So therefore, when I say next time, I can bring to my mind those thoughts which tell me, yes, I am Satchidananda. Instead of the speech saying, I am Satchidananda, but the mind experiencing nothing. It is like, in English, there is this word, I don't even know what it means, but there is a meaning to it. There's a word called onomatopoeia or something like that. Onomatopoeia or something like that. It's a grammar term. If you don't know what it means, it's only a word. You can easily pronounce it, you cannot pronounce it. But for you to experience it, you to feel something about it, there's nothing. So like that, if I continue to keep repeating to the whole world and to myself, Aham Satchidananda, Aham Satchidananda, it will make me sound smart. People will say, yes, this person knows Satchidananda. But personally, I will have no feeling about Satchidananda. But when I logically understand how I am Sachidananda, then it will carry a lot of weight. When I say I'm Sachidananda, for me, it will carry a lot of meaning for me. So in order to prove that with logic, Lakshmidhar Kavi explains the next verse. So let's chant the verse and then we'll see the meaning. Ahamasmi sada bhami kadachinnaham apriyaham brahmaivahamatasiddham sachidananda lakshanam ahamasmi sada bhami kadachinnaham apriyaham brahmaivahamatasiddham sachidananda lakshanam. First, Swayam Prakashayati ji explains the word meaning of each, and then he goes on to analyze the shloka. So that is how we will follow this idea. Okay? So the word meaning of all these words. Aham. We know aham means I. But I here is not representing the ego. Here the aham is not that which arrogates to observing the sense object and says, I observed this object. I enjoyed this object. That is the ahankar. Here, that is not the aham. Here the aham means one who is the witness of the ahankara also. So aham means the self. Aham means my true nature, that is the witness of ego, etc. All the antakarana. Aham, asmi, I am. So I am means I exist. Asmi means I exist. Satrupa, I am of the nature of existence. So that means I am when other objects are there, and I am even when other objects are not. That is the nature of Sat. When you say Asmi is, the isness is understood irrespective of what is it associated with. Like how clay pot and clay plate, there the clayness is the same in all. The clay is that substrate. Here asmi is. So whether the object I identify with or with, if there is an object that I don't identify, I-ness is there. Isness is there. And that is me, the Sakshi. How do you understand this? So one who is the witness of gives the existence to the body, mind, and the entire antakara. So because the sakshi is, therefore, all the embodiment is. Body is because I am. Mind is because I am. And everything else. It is similar to a rope and a snake. Snake is because rope is. The existence for the snake is borrowed from the rope. Snake doesn't have its own existence. The superimposed snake, okay? Not the real snake. The real snake will have its own existence. But here we're talking about the snake which is superimposed on the rope. So there, where is the snake getting its ability to shine? Or not shine, but ability to exist? It is borrowing that from the rope. Likewise, where is the antahkarana, our inner instrument, ego, mind? Where is it getting this ability to do what it does, the functionality that it does? It is from I. So our aham, we should understand as I am that self, that witness. And I lend sentiency. I lend the existence to everything. And even the objects outside. So that explains ahamasmi, sadabhami, sada. So sada means at all times, in all three states, three avastha, jagrat, swapna, sushupti. So sada means jagrat, swapna, sushupti, avastha. In all three states, bhami, I shine. Meaning, when I am in the waking state, I illumine the objects, external, all the material objects of the world. I illumine the body. I illumine the senses. And I illumine the mind. This is the Jagrat Avastha. In waking world, what do? In waking world, we take the external objects of the world, we bring it in through our senses, analyze it with our mind. That is what is waking world. But this waking world is under whose light working? It is under the light of I. So in waking state, I illumine all of this, the body, the senses, the mind, and all the material objects of the world. Likewise, in dream state, the material world is not there anymore. The world has stopped existing for us. But there is mental vasanas, our inner thoughts. So these I illumine. That's how we are able to have a dream. What I thought about the entire day, that is what I get when I'm in sleep, in dream. So the entire day I was thinking about money, 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 money. And if I was worried about money, 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 then in sleep, I will create a scenario where I'm actually losing money, 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 money. So whatever tension we create, because the intellect is no longer there, it figures out a way to manifest. Anything that you were suppressing during our waking state, in dream state, they start to manifest. So whatever is manifested, without saying that which was manifested is real, unreal, we're not worried about that. What we are worried about, or not worried about, but what we are saying is that I illumined all of that. So I am the illuminator of the dream state. And likewise, I am the illuminator of deep sleep state. Because when I am in deep sleep, I am illumining that I witnessed nothing. There was complete darkness. There was complete ignorance. So in this way, Sadabhami, I always shine. So objects of the waking, dream, and deep sleep state, they changed. There was a different object to play around in the waking state, which changed in dream state to no objects at all in deep sleep state. But the one that was shining, that was saying, I illumine, that is the same. Therefore, I am always shining. So, there is a proof also being provided as to who I am, and with that, a statement of why I am this. Ahamasmi Sadabhami. Kadachit. At any point in time, there is not a point in time, aham apriyaha. Kadachit na aham apriyaha. So, even when there is the greatest of sorrow that befalls upon me, then also, I am not dislikable to me. Why would you say that? Why would you say that you are happy, that you are always likable to yourself, that you are never the object of dislike? The reason being is because I dislike sorrow. I dislike sorrow. Therefore, even in this time of sorrow, it represents that I am liking myself. Kadachit na aham apriyaha. Apriyaha, dislikable. Na apriyaha, meaning not dislikable, meaning likable. I am at all times likable for me. This is the point. So why I am likable for me is because when sorrow comes, I dislike sorrow. And when I dislike sorrow, that tells me that I like myself. This is the proof. A very simple thinking. Do not overthink this. Very simple logic. Because you dislike sorrow, you are the most dearest to yourself. No. But if you say, that's not true. Sorrow itself is sorrowful. That's why I dislike sorrow. Okay. The person who says that you dislike sorrow and that proves that you like yourself is not true, because sorrow inherently itself has sorrowfulness. That's why you cannot say this. to them, Swayam Prakashitiji says, no, that's not. When the sorrow is there in an enemy, you are not sorrowful. You are smiling because the enemy is in the state of sorrow. When you are in the state of sorrow, you dislike sorrow. Because you like yourself, you dislike sorrow in the state of sorrow. But your enemy is in that same state of sorrow, you do not dislike sorrow. You say, may God give him 10 times more sorrow. That means what? Sorrow inherently doesn't have dislikability. Because I have likability for myself, because I love myself, therefore I cannot stand sorrow. That's the point. So therefore, at all times, kadachit, no matter what time it is, whether we are experiencing sukha or whether we are experiencing dukha, because I like myself, I am dear to myself. Now, this having explained, this is the first line. Aham asmi sadabhami kadachin na aham apriya. This is my somewhat of an experience. You cannot deny the fact. Meaning that when we are saying that I exist, I can feel that I am, whatever state it is, whatever object it is around, but we feel that I am. Likewise, when I shine, I illumine other things. This I can experience for myself. And in that same way, dearness, also the same. So having in this way, explained in the first two lines, my nature, then Lakshmidhar Kavi combines it with the nature of the Brahman. So Brahman's nature is also the same. So what is Brahman's nature? He says, that which is in all three states, Kalatray, in all, not state, all three times, past, present, future, that can never be negated, can never be denied. This is the nature of the Brahman. When you say the word Brahman, Brahman is that which is vast, that which is supreme, that which is big. So that vast Brahman has to be there in all three periods of time, can never be denied. This is the nature of Brahman. And it shines, it illumines. Because the Brahman exists, the whole world is illumined. The whole world shines. So, Chitrupa, of the nature of consciousness. And Paramapriti, of the nature of supreme bliss, of the nature of supreme happiness, is this Brahman. That's why it is noted as Satchidananda Lakshanam. This Satchidananda Lakshanam, Aham, Eva. And that is Brahma. So Brahma, Eva, Aham, Satchidananda Lakshanam. So therefore, this Brahman is me. Ataha Siddham. This is very clearly established. So, the idea is this, okay? Do not get confused. Very simple thought. Lakshmidhar Kavi has presented. Scripture says, Brahman's nature is Satchidananda. Okay? Brahman's nature is Satchidananda. And I also find within me these three things, that I exist. And because I exist, I give existence to all other things. I give existence to the antahkarana, ego. I give existence to the mind. I give existence to the body, senses, everything. So that should be a proof enough for me that when I say I exist, it should remind me that I am this Brahman also, which also exists, which is the existence in its nature. Then I shine. In all three states, I shine. And then third, I am the object of the greatest happiness. In all times, I give myself happiness. If this is clear, this understanding is clear, then it should become clear that I am Sachidananda Brahman. This still doesn't prove that I am Sachidananda Brahman. If you are confused, it still doesn't make sense. I am Sachidananda Brahman. Then Lakshmidhar Kavi, Swayam Prakashayati Ji now uses logic. He brings in this logic to explain this idea further. Okay, let me know first if you are confused. Are you confused?
So Dhirenji, it would help if you summarize the verse again, because I'm trying to connect the first line to second. It's not clear.
The connection is going to come with the logic. The connection I have not given yet. The connection will come with the logic that Swayam Prakashayati Ji will present now. But the idea is very simple. The properties of Brahman, we say, is existence, consciousness, bliss. That existence, consciousness, bliss is Sachidananda. Okay. This property of existence, consciousness, bliss is found within me. Because it is found within me, therefore, I am also Sachidananda. And this found within me doesn't mean that it's like how I find cancer within me. It's not like finding cancer within me. It's not like small hidden particle or a cell that's in me. No. It is the very nature which then gives the ability for this jiva to exist. So when it is found within me, I say, therefore, anytime I say I am, my mind should tell me I am means I give the ability for the mind, the ego, and all of these to shine. That is one aspect of Sachidananda within me. Likewise, I shine. When I am in the waking state, I am not the one who is experiencing the waking world, but I am the witness who is illumining the waking world along with the body, etc. In dream state, I am not the one who is dreaming all these things. I am the one who is illumining the vasana within me. And likewise, in deep sleep state, I am not the one that has not experienced anything. I am the one that has illumined mind without any awareness. The mind which was completely in the seedal form, not aware of anything. So I have illumined all these things. I was not the one experiencing all these things. Meaning, I was not the one who was that ego through all these things. Likewise, I am the most dear to myself. So these aspects of Brahman are found within me. Therefore, I am Brahman. This is what the shloka is saying. Okay. Should I tell the logic? You think about it, you go through the idea one more time, you will get it. It's not difficult. We are trying to connect logically why I am Satchidananda. That's it. With logic, I'm Satchidananda. Okay. Now here is the logic that Swayam Prakashati tells. And this is the methodology Swayam Prakashati ji will use throughout the text. There is one thing called Pratignya. So you must write it down. This way you will remember. And then I will try to give the idea about what is Pratignya. And then the next thing is Hetu. Pratignya, Hetu. And the third thing is called Udaharana, example. Okay. Pratignya, Hetu, Udaharana. Pratignya, we know what it means. Pratignya means a vow statement, not W-O-W, not that vow, V-O-W, vow. Like you are taking a vow to prove something. So a statement which is used as a proof that I'm going to prove this logic. So, for example, there is a fire on hilltop. There's a hilltop. You started seeing smoke on this hilltop. Okay. You started seeing some smoke on the hilltop and you made a pratignya statement. You made a vow statement that there is a fire on the hilltop. So pratignya is, there's a fire on the hilltop. Hetu, the cause. Not the cause, the... Hetu is the logic. What is the logic? What is the cause for you to make the statement that you just made? Because the logic behind that is, wherever there is smoke, there is fire. Wherever there is smoke, there is fire. Because you saw smoke on the hilltop, you inferred there is fire. And what is the example? Udaharana. Example is based on the fire in the kitchen. So your example was in the kitchen, you saw a fire and from the fire came out smoke. So from that experience, you inferred that wherever there is fire, there is smoke. So upon seeing smoke on the hilltop, you said, there is fire. This is your logic. An inferential logic is a very solid proof to convince ourselves that I am Brahman. Not the fire and smoke example. Fire and smoke example is not proving I am Brahman. The proof is using this kind of logic. As long as we can have this probability, there's a little bit of probability that it can be, it gives a validity for existence. It can say that, yes, it is possible. So So therefore, that's all we're trying to prove with this inferential logic, that if this is possible, then I am Brahman. This is not in the shloka. This is the methodology that Swayam Prakashayati ji will use to explain all the shlokas from now on. Pratignya, Hetu, and Udahara. Alright. So what is the Pratignya, Hetu, and Udaharana for the shloka? So Pratignya is, self is not different from Brahman. Self is not different from Brahman. This is the Pratignya. Why do you say the self is not different from Brahman? What is your logic? Because like Brahman, which is of Sachidananda Swarupa, I also have Asmi, Bhami, and Priya. So I also have Sachidananda nature within me. And what is the example? The example is like Brahman. How Brahman has Asti, Bhati, Priya. That is why we call Brahman as Satchit Ananda. So because Brahman is Satchit Ananda, and I find within me Asmi, Bhami, and Priya, therefore I am also Satchit Ananda. This is the inference. So what is the shloka trying to prove? By saying aham asmi sada bhami kadachinna aham apriyah brahma iva aham atah siddhah sachidananda lakshman, is because those properties of Brahman are there within me. Logic clear? Yes. Now you understand all the things that we talked about as a proof for why I am, why I shine, and why I am the most dearest to me. So everything that I explained in the beginning was all of that logic, all of that proof only, why I am, why I shine, why I am the most dearest. But why did you confuse us? Why didn't you just tell this before and then told us why the proof is? I'm following what Swayam Prakashayati ji follows. So I'm not going away from what the guru is saying here. So that's how it is. But is this clear enough? Simple enough? Questions?
It's not simple. It will take some reflection and
Yes, absolutely. It will take a reflection. Any questions before I move forward?
So in this case, the Udaharana, you said, is Brahman also has Satchitananda. I thought that was what we said in the Hetu, that like Brahman with Satchitananda, I also have Asmi, Bhati, Priya in my three characteristics. So is Udaharana and Hetu, can we differentiate a little bit more?
Sure. So the Pratignya is clear. The Pratignya is self is not different from Brahman. The logic for that is that Satchidananda Rupa is found in Brahman and in me. So the logic is that Satchidananda is found in Brahman and in me. And the example is given as a Brahman. You look at Brahman. In Brahman, you find Satchidananda. Likewise, I find Satchidananda in me. Therefore, I cannot be different from Satchidananda. Very simple logic. A equals B and B equals C. Therefore, A equals C. Right? So, A is Brahman and B is Satchidananda and C is I. Brahman is Satchidananda. I am Asmi, Bhami, and Priya. Therefore, you remove the Asmi, Bhami, Priya, A equals C. So, therefore, Satchidananda, I. Math works here. I always wondered, where is this math going to come to my help? Today it came to help.
The Udaharan is still,
the example here is like Brahman.
Like Brahman. Okay. But the logic is like Brahman. I too have Asmi Asti Bhati Priya, Asmi Bhami Priya.
Yes. The logic is Satchidananda is common in both.
And then Udaharan is like Brahman.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the nature of Brahman is described in scripture as Satchidananda Swarupa. Okay, now it's going to get a little tougher, okay? So you're ready? There are so many interesting things you'll find in this. So some are tough, some are easy. This one is fairly easy, but the logic now is going to be a little more involved, okay? It's not enough just to say, aham asmi sada bhami kadachinna aham apriyaha. And leave it like that. Our rishis, our gurus, they always thought from an outsider perspective. And how would somebody destroy your logic? Because when you raise a logic, somebody is ready to destroy the logic. So in order to withstand those arguments, our rishis, they created what is called as pratipraksha-bhava, an opposing view, and then an answer to that opposing view. This is very common. If you read any of Adi Shankaracharya's commentary, he will use this. He will start with saying, Nanu, objection. There's an objection being raised here. What you say doesn't make sense. And then he says, Na, this is not correct. The objection is wrong. This is the logic behind the proof for why this objection is wrong. This is how there are some objections raised to show from anubhava first, from the experience itself, why I am Satchidananda, then Shruti, Yukti, and Anubhuti, Yukti, logic. From logic's perspective, again, showing that I am Brahman, and also from the scriptural perspective, showing that I am Brahman. So an objection is raised, three objections will come. I don't think we'll have enough time for all three today. So at least let me start off with the first objection. The first objection raised is this. I am not Ishvara. I am not Brahman. This is my personal experience. Although Swayam Prakash Eti ji and Lakshmidhar Kavi is saying, I am Brahman. But this is not my personal experience. My personal experience doesn't tell me I am Brahman. So what are you talking about? You are Brahman, you are Brahman, you are Brahman. So this logic that you just told me, using Pratignya, Hetu, and Udaharana, doesn't fit. Because my personal experience tells me I'm not Brahman. Why are you not Brahman? Because Brahman is vast. Brahman is all-knowing. Whereas I am very tiny, living in a tiny place in Illinois. That also amounts to a pin drop when you look it up on Google Maps. So I'm so tiny, and Brahman is so big. I am only knowing just a little bit. I don't know a lot. I may know about what is going on in my area, but then what is happening in Australia, or what is happening in Russia? I have no idea. So my knowledge is limited. So our experience tells us that I am limited, but Brahman but this Brahman is unlimited. How can you say that you are Brahman then? He says, there is a fault here. In this type of understanding, that I don't experience myself to be Brahman, there is a fault there, because you cannot reach Brahman by any of the instruments we have. Brahman is devoid of sound, is devoid of all the senses or sensory perceptions, right? So sound, taste, touch, sight, all of these things are not there in Brahman. So because they're not there in Brahman, you cannot use your senses to reach Brahman. So to say your experience of I am not experiencing myself to be Brahman is not valid here. If we make this argument, and many times people do this, when they hear scriptures, they talk about it this way. It's very easy to say. You know, it's easy to say that you are Brahman, but it is very hard to experience. Well, if you say it this way, that it is very hard to experience, let me tell you, the experience that you are speaking about with your senses is limited. Your senses can only go and touch its respective sense object. And because these sense objects are not there in Brahman, you cannot use your senses to go there. Okay. This idea is clear? Okay. Point one. Point two. You also cannot use your mind to know Brahman. Because we said, Aham is the Sakshi, the witness. If the mind knows the witness, then what happens to the witness? The witness becomes known. When the knower becomes the known, then the knower loses its infinitude. The knower loses its ability to say it is complete. How does a knower lose that? First, you have to understand that mind cannot know the witness. If the mind knows the witness, then the witnesser was part of a transaction. Do you see that? If a witnesser is a part of a transaction, then it was never a witnesser. Do you get that? Okay, in another way, you see. You are walking down the street. I am walking down the street. Okay. You saw me, I saw you. Right? You are also a knower, I am also a knower. Correct? So in this way, knower knew the other knower. Correct? Can we start off with this point? Both of us walking down the street, we saw each other, we knew each other. I am also a knower, you are also a knower. Okay. In this transaction, what is known and who is the true knower? Let us think about that. What is known and who is the true knower? When I knew you, when I saw you, the known was not you, the knower. The known was the body. The known was the form. The known was your actions. But the known was not you, the knower. Can you say that that is correct? And likewise, when you knew me, you only saw my body, you only saw my actions, you only saw the form, the clothes, and all these things that's all you saw. So what you saw was not the real knower, all you saw was the known objects. Therefore, anytime something is known, and it is also a knower, that combination doesn't fit well. That combination has a problem because the knower loses its ability to become absolute. Because knower has an aspect within it that is an objectification. An objectification means it is a limitation. So if Brahman, we say, is known, that means Brahman has a limitation within itself. And if it has limitation within itself, then how can we say Brahman is infinite? So knower and known have to be separate. Therefore, mind also cannot know Brahman. Okay. use your brain power in the morning to listen to this entire shloka. And hopefully next week, it will be clear. And I will explain one more time this entire logic. Any questions, burning questions that you have right now? Yes, Archana.
No, we have to think about it.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that comes to mind is in experimentation, we say hypothesis testing, null hypothesis and alternate. So when you accept one, you have to reject the other. So I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but I'm confused a little.
I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah, it's used in statistical probability. So when you accept one, you have to reject the other.
The objection seems so real that the argument needs a lot more thinking.
You cannot deny the objection.
Yeah,
it's very true that my personal experience is telling me that I am not Brahman. But your shloka is saying, because I am Sachidananda, because there is isness, the shineness and likableness, I am Brahman. It doesn't make sense. It goes completely opposite to what my personal experience is.
Yeah.
And there we're now giving a logic to put aside your personal experience, to throw out the window all the experiences you had for, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of your life. Throw all of that out the window when you are considering yourself as Brahman. Because none of these experiences will come in helping understand I am Brahman. Because they inherently have fault in them. Those fault is what we were trying to experience or not trying to understand. So further of this logic, we will see next time.
Yeah.
It will become clear. Do not worry. First time when I went through it, I had very difficult time. Second time when I went through it, I understood a little bit. Third time when I went to it, I'm able to speak about it. And fourth time I'm speaking about it, I feel confident about what I'm saying. So it takes time.
Hiranji, one quick question. So aham is sakshi, that's what we heard before, witness. But sakshi is witnessing the deha, indriya, prana. So it feels like it restricted itself. Brahman is so vast, huge, illumining the entire world. Now I'm saying I'm Sakshi, which is witnessing this small body, indriya, prana, mana, buddhi, everything. So then immediately the question comes, how could Sakshi become, we heard it, we know the scripture is saying, but then imagining that the Sakshi, which is restricted to this body, is Brahman.
Yes, and you have jumped to shloka number 20 or 19 or something like that. You've gone all the way down to the road. There will be a shloka where Lakshmidhar Kavi will say, I am also not the Sakshi. And a logic to prove that also. I am beyond Sakshitva. So when that comes, we'll see that idea. But you're correct. Sakshi also is a limitation. But we have to give some bait for the mind to at least start with. That's why a simple thought for us to begin. Once we bite into this, other thoughts will come. Well, let's do the prayer and we conclude for today. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Hari Om Dhananjay.
Yes. Hari Om.
Hari Om Dhananjay.